Rebbeinu Tam says Shabbos is over for meal after sunset. But there'll be a machlokas with Rebbeinu Tam Shita is. Is 4 meals 72 minutes? That is the standard definition. Or maybe it'll be longer, like brisk has a longer shita over Rebbeinu Tam. And that's all based on Hiluch meal. Okay, so the notion is that we are misupik in halacha. There are many, many different opinions. Generally, we have to be machmir, and therefore by chametz, we take the smallest shear of meal, 1 meal, which is 18 minutes. That's how you get the 18-minute thing for chametz. But if you look at the Gemara, that itself is only because a person is not a buck, meaning theoretically, there are physical signs that say, when chametz is a fermentation of grain, and there are physical signs in the dough, so theoretically, it is possible that even after 18 minutes there was no fermentation, or maybe less than 18 minutes there was fermentation. Fermentation can depend on air pressure, it can depend on density of the flour, it could depend on how much water relative to the flour there is. So the 18 minutes is an automatic rule of thumb, but it would be superseded by a person's ability to know the simon. But the Ramah says, since Bizman Hazeh, we are not so bucky in what are the simonim that define chametz min haTorah, so we go with the 18 minutes. Okay, but everybody knows that the distinguishing feature of Pesach is we have matzah, we don't have chametz. Now, before I even get into the reason for that, keep in mind there are other areas of halacha where we're also very makbid on chametz and matzah. It's not only Pesach. The Beis HaMikdash is largely a chametz-free zone. You know that whenever you brought a meal offering to the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be chametz. It had to be matzah. It could not be chametz. When they had the lechem hapanim, the 12 loaves of bread, so we think it's loaves of bread, it was actually matzah, not chametz. Although it's probably different than our matzah. The Sephardim have what is called soft matzah. Soft matzah essentially looks like a pizza, but it's not pizza. In other words, it's soft, it's bendable. And there's no principle in halacha that says bendable matzah is no good. As long as it's not chametz, it's perfectly fine. Why don't Ashkenazim use bendable soft matzah? Why do Ashkenazim have this hard, brittle, burnt matzah? The reason, once again, is that when you are using, in order to have soft matzah, you have to have a thicker dough. Svarim are more courageous. They're perfectly happy to use a thick dough. And they'll just be careful because it becomes chametz. Ashkenazim, the men of us, we're so afraid it's a thicker dough. Maybe the middle is not going to get baked thoroughly. And if the middle doesn't get baked thoroughly, it might become chametz. So our minhag is we thin it out very much in order to avoid any unbaked thing in the middle. But Svarim do use dough. It's very clear that in the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, the Stam Matzah was, in fact, soft, bendable dough. And the proof is from the famous Hillel sandwich, right? We know during the Seder, we follow the minhag of Hillel. And Hillel, at the time of the Korban Pesach, used to wrap. Korban means wrap. He would wrap the Pesach in the matzah and the morah. Now, Ashkenazic matzah cannot be wrapped around anything. This was a gyro or shawarma. Right? You had lamb, right? You had lamb, roasted lamb in the middle, wrapped the vegetables around it, and you wrapped this soft pizza around it. This was the first shawarma or gyro, whatever. So it's very, very clear that it was Maha Mikdash they did have. So by the way, I don't know why we don't get credit for the first sandwich. I mean, they say the early sandwich. I mean, Hillel was way before him. But still, this is what he did. He was Korach, Pesach, Matzah, Morah. Now, so just to give you just the information. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Lechem HaPanim was Matzah. The meal offering I would bring with my Korban, I brought an Ola, a burnt offering, or a peace offering, was Matzah. It's Usher min HaTorah to bring Chametz to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash is a chametz-free zone the whole year, except there's only two korbanos that in the Beis HaMikdash were chametz, not on Pesach. One was Shavuos, there were two loaves of wheat bread, and they were chametz. Shtei alechem were chametz. And the second is when you bring a Thanksgiving offering to Hashem, a korban todah. Right? Let's say you had a Yeshua, you bet Shemel, whatever, so you bring a korban todah. So korban todah is an animal. But with the animal, you bring 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them are matzah, and 10 of them are chametz. Lachmei todah. So the two examples of chametz in the Mikdash are the Shtei Halechem of Shavuos, which is the Korban Seder that was brought on behalf of the whole congregation. And the other is the Korban Yachid, the individual private Korban that is brought to the Korban Todah. 10 of the 40 lechem was lechem chametz. Other than that, in fact, the base of English was a chametz chidah. In fact, this explains something a little liturgical. It's really not going to get so much today, but I'll mention it. We say in Shacharis, in Pesukim de Zimra, we say a little quote number 100, quote, Mizmor Lesoda, a song of thanksgiving. Again, many Sephardim say it for Kabbalah Shabbos, Kabbalah Chadodi, they say it for the Todah. And Mizmor LaTodah was the song that a person would say to Hashem when they brought a Thanksgiving offering. Okay? Now, if you look in your Arskol Siddur, you will see an instruction that we don't say Mizmor LaTodah during Pesach, and we don't say Mizmor LaTodah on Erev. Yom Tov, we don't say it anyway. We never say it on Shabbos or Yom Tov simply because you never bring private korbanos on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So nothing to do with korbanos you say on Shabbos and Yom Tov, except for korbanos. Now, but Mizmor LaTodah you do not say on Erev Pesach, and you do not even say it on Chol Hamoed Pesach. Reason is very simple. You're not allowed to bring a korban todah on Pesach. Reason? Because part of a korban todah were 10 loaves of chametz bread. You're not allowed to have that bread on Pesach. Now, what about Erev Pesach? Chorah, you would ask the question, okay, but Erev Pesach, I'm allowed to have bread until, let's say, 9:30, or at the very beginning of the day, I could have bread. So if I'm davening early, if I'm davening when I'm still allowed to eat bread, why can't I say Mizmor LaTodah? So here there's an important rule in Korbanos you need to know. A Todah and its bread can be eaten for 2 days. That's halach. If I bring it on Monday, I can eat it Monday night, and Tuesday. You're not allowed to bring a Korban if you're not going to have the full Zman to eat the Korban. So you cannot bring the Korban Erev Pesach, because if Erev Pesach is Monday, I'm not going to be allowed to eat the korban at 9:30, and I can't eat the korban on Tuesday. So if you cannot eat, if you don't have the full zaman the Torah gives you for the eating of the korban, you are not allowed to bring it at all. You can only bring a korban if you're going to have its full zaman. Since if I bring the korban on Erev Pesach, I'm not going to have the full zaman. Of course, you can ask Akasha on this. If you can only bring the korban, you can have the full zaman. I shouldn't say Mizmor LaTodah even the day before Erev Pesach. Why is that so? Because the full Zaman of a Todah is 2 days and an intervening night. Which means if I bring a Korban Todah on Monday, I should normally eat it all of Monday night, and all of Tuesday until Shkia. Now, if I bring the korban, let's say Erev Pesach is Monday. If I bring the korban on Sunday, I don't have the full time because I can eat it Sunday night, and part of Monday from 9:30 in the morning, let's say, but I don't have the whole day. So if you're telling me I can't bring a korban taina on Erev Pesach because I don't have the full amount of time to eat it, then I shouldn't be able to bring a korban todah the day before Erev Pesach because I'm not going to have the full time to eat it. And therefore, I shouldn't say Mizmor LaTodah. Yeah, we don't paskin that way. We do paskin until the Erev Pesach, that you don't say it. You do say it on the day before Erev Pesach. Okay? Now, a little bit of an explanation. Why is the Beis Hamikdash normally a chametz-free zone? And why do we have these exceptions? So the reason why it's normally a chametz-free zone is that chametz is a memes to the Yetzer Hara of a person. Chametz represents the power of evil within a person. Why? Because chametz is puffed up. It represents arrogance. It represents gaiva. And in fact, Chazal even described the Yetzer Hara as Sa'or Shebe'isa. Sa'or Shebe'isa means the leavening agent of dough. I don't know if any of you are bakers or your mothers are bakers, but you know, when you bake, at least if you're a professional baker, not every home baker does this, there's something called a starter. You actually take a piece of yeast that has been fermented for a long time. Some bakers have starters that are 100 years old. Amazing. It's like safety starters, like it goes from father to son or mother to daughter, whatever it would be. And these are very, you know, some very, very expensive bread is baked with these ancient starters. But whatever it would be. But that accelerates the leavening and that makes the leavening better. Now, the mice, chametz doesn't require a starter. There are people who just mix flour and water after 18 minutes, a lot of these chametz. But if you want a lot kosher chametz, I want real chametz, has a leavening agent that's involved, Sa'or. And the HR is called Sa'or Shavit. It really puffs me up. It makes me arrogant. It makes me conceited. So, since the Beis HaMikdash is a place of holiness, a place of Devekas Hashem, we don't bring in the HR. We become purified when we enter the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why matzah is a symbol of humility. Matzah is a symbol of submission to Hashem. It is humble. It is called the bread of affliction, bread of poverty, the bread of modesty. And that is why the Beis HaMikdash, everything is on top. The question then becomes, what about the exceptions? So the Maharal offers a beautiful explanation for the Shtei Halechem. Why the Shtei Halechem of Shavuos is B'davka Chametz. It's really a brilliant explanation. He says like this. He says, this is more against Shavuos, but again, it'll fit. Do you remember the famous Gemara in Shabbos? That at the time of Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the Torah. And the angels in Shemayim didn't want to let them get the Torah. They said to Hashem, how can you take your precious holy Torah and give it to these lowly people who are going to break the Torah, they're going to violate the Torah, they don't understand the Torah, they don't learn the Torah. You're besmirching, you're corrupting, you're polluting your Torah. Leave your Torah in Shemayim. And Moshe was quite frightened. That's not so easy to be surrounded by millions of these angels that are really, you know, attacking you and saying, get out of here. So Moshe Rabbeinu holds on to the Kisei HaKavod for protection. And Hashem says to Moshe, give him an answer, Moshe. Figure out something to say. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes up with the answer by saying that it is only the human being that have a Yetzer Hara that need the Torah. The Torah says, don't kill. Don't steal. Honor your parents. The Malachim don't have Bechira. They don't have the Yetzer Hara to kill or to steal. They don't have parents other than Hashem to honor. And the basic argument is the Torah was given to help us vanquish our Yetzer Hara, to give us a guide, and to give us the strength, and give us the ability to fight against the Yetzer Hara. Someone or something that does not have the Yetzer Hara does not need the Torah. In fact, it seems to be such an obvious answer, it's hard for us to know exactly what was the Malachim's Havamim. What did they want with the Torah? Don't eat meat and milk. You don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. What did the angels want with that? That's something Rashi explains. The Rashi explained that the Torah has spiritual meanings beyond the surface, and therefore they said that even if we don't eat meat and milk, there's an inner meaning that applies to us here as well. But Moshe Rabbeinu's argument is that you also have to look at the surface meaning of the Torah. And the Torah is relevant only for those who have the Yetzer Hara. So this is a Gemara in Shabbos. So the Maharal says, very brilliantly, if the only reason we got the Torah is because of the Yetzer Hara, and Chametz symbolizes the Yetzer Hara, we can't tell the Yetzer Hara on Shavuos, get out of here, we don't want you. The Yetzer Hara's argument is,
I'm the reason you got the Torah. You can't keep me out. Without me, you'd be nowhere. So when it comes to Matan Torah, we bedafka bring in the Yetzer Hara, the Chametz, the Yetzer Hara, so to speak, because that is the entitlement. That is why we got the Torah. So how can we exclude the very reason we got the Torah? Because for Keret, if we come into the Beis Hamikdash and we're too much like angels, but we'll never be as good as the actual angels. Hashem might say, Hashem might. Why do I need almost angels? I'll give it to real angels. So we have to come in and say, hey, we have all this Yetzer Hara. That's what we get. That explains the first exception, the exception for the Shtei Halechim. What about the Lachmei Torah? Right? Lachmei Torah is a little harder to understand. That's the Thanksgiving offering. Which any time of the year except Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Chol HaMoed Pesach, we can bring a Thanksgiving offering. And 3/4 of the bread that comes with the offering is matzah, bendable matzah, but 25% is ra. Yeah. But again, I think there's a lesson here that a person has to thank even for what they might perceive are their negative forces, because the idea is that a person might sometimes be angry. Why did Hashem make me, you know, with this Yetzer Hara, with this bad nature, with these troublesome feelings that I have? But the answer is that Hashem gave us the Yetzer Hara to give us a struggle, so that we learn to become good, not by automatic pilot, we learn to become good by fighting against the Yetzer Hara. That makes us better people. We are better because of the struggle than we would be without the struggle. Without the struggle. And since the Lachmei Torah is expressing gratitude, we express gratitude even for the Yetzer Hara. Because the Yetzer Hara is what enables us to grow. If a person didn't have struggle or challenge, they would never become greater than they can be. But that's the idea of the Lachmei Torah. One other thing over Korban Torah, again, it's not particularly what I want to talk about, is the Siv remarks, geez, so much bread. What is all this bread over here? 40 loaves of bread. I mean, that's quite a lot. It's like 30, you know, 30 matzos, or 30, yeah, it's going to be like 30 pitos and 10 chalos. What are you doing? So the Yitzhak says, obviously, when a person brought a carbon tota, he was expecting to bring a lot of people. It would just be his wife and, you know, two kids, whatever it is. If he didn't have a big family, you have to invite people because this stuff has to be eaten. So here we see a lesson that when a person is expressing their gratitude to Hashem, it is important to bring in as many people as you can. And this is a source indirectly for what is called a Seudas Hodah. If you heard about a Seudas Hodah, let's say a person was saved from something. A person was saved from an accident, from a terrorist attack. A person recovered from an illness. So it is appropriate to make a special meal to thank Hashem. It might be a Kiddush Shabbos morning, or it might be actually a sit-down meal in the house. Okay, not to be elaborate, we're not talking about everything has to be dinner. It might just be cake. And in fact, Korban Todah is a very simple situation, because like this. The Korban Todah is an animal. Now the animal may be big, it may be small. You know, you can bring a sheep or you can bring a cow. You know, so it could be a small Korban or a big Korban. But even if you can't afford a big animal, so everybody gets meat, please, everybody gets a bread or zomach, right? So it's kind of the paradigm of making a Seudas Hodah. And we find this interesting dichotomy. You know, when Chas V'Shalom, a person is an other, a person is in bereavement, so a person makes the bracha Dayano Emes, and they rip their garments. And the custom is they rip their garments privately. They don't do it. I mean, it's not forbidden, but the custom is it's done away from the crowd. But when a person benches Gomel, when do you bench Gomel? You bench Gomel, again, if you were saved from an accident, or even if you took a voyage across the ocean, an airline voyage, we bench Gomel because we were in a dangerous situation. Now, Gomel has to be done publicly. You bench Gomel publicly. You can only bench Gomel. Our minhag is to do it after Kriyas HaTorah, but it doesn't have to be Kriyas HaTorah. I mean, you bench Gomel in front of a minhag. 9 other people besides you. Kriyas HaTorah is just an occasion when you happen to have a minion and the like. And the idea is, because since HaGomel is giving thanks to Hashem,
Thanksgiving should be as public as you can do it, because that's a Kiddush Hashem, thanking Hashem for his chesed. Dayana Emes, on the other hand, might be an idea. A person might, God forbid, have some thought about a taina against it. It's expressing a certain dissatisfaction with Hashem. Not supposed to do that, but it might. Therefore, you do it privately, so in case there's something negative that doesn't get communicated psychically to other people. Bad energy, the bad vibes, the anger, the resentment. But gomel, which is gratitude. Or do I just tell you that Israelis are so much tougher than Americans? You know, in America, people got shot at us, you know, my kid fell off his bicycle in the park, and he was benched over, whatever. Now here, typical Israeli Shiloh is, I was sitting on a bus, and the seat in back of me, nobody was there, and like bullets went through the window in back of me. Do I bench Goma? And the Pesach is, no, it wasn't your rubber. this is what they kind of say, you know, if it was in your row and it went by your head, all right, then you were in danger. If it was directly in back of you, no sakana. So it's different. So in many ways, what's defined as sakana kind of depends on the toughness of the culture, you know, that if you're used to these things happening, you know, this is normal life, you know, we don't consider it. In Eretz Yisrael, they almost never tell you to bench Goma. Not so bad. But even if you don't bench Goma, a Sudas Hoda, you can still bring. It's always good to make a Sudas Hoda. Exactly. Okay. So now, this may be a two-parter. Now, let's go back to a very basic question, a question that some of you may have, you know, some of you may have learned in fourth grade or whatever, if you have the Jewish education at a young age. But it's a simple question. Why do we matzah on Pesach? And the reason that is given in the Haggadah, and at least in one place in the book, is because we didn't have time to let our dough rise. What does that mean? That means that Pesach night we were having a Seder, we were eating the Korban Pesach and everything else. And then towards the morning, it was time to get ready to go. So we started baking bread for the trip, and we made our dough. And we normally let it rise, 18 minutes, or whatever it would be. But the Egyptians show up at the crack of dawn and say, get out, we don't want to go out. Paro is trying to get rid of us from midnight. Remember midnight, at the stroke of midnight, exactly midnight? And this doesn't mean, I don't mean 12 midnight. Midnight means the midpoint of the night, whatever that was. Simultaneously, every Egyptian b'chor in Egypt dropped dead at the same exact time. Millisecond. Paro finally, his will is broken. He can no longer refuse. And he says, get out now. Get out. And Hashem tells Moshe, nope, you're not going to leave in the middle of the night. I remember, if you are sports fans, I remember, I lived in Baltimore at the time. So there's a great, great football team, the Baltimore Colts. Now they're, I guess, the Indiana Colts. They were the Baltimore Colts for many, many years. And Baltimore was fanatically loyal to this team. They loved this team. Relayed. But for whatever reason, Bob Irsay, who's not alive anymore, Bob Irsay wanted to move the team to Indianapolis. I guess it was always for money, by definition. So he did it in the middle of the night. And people knew he was going to move it. He moved the whole team at 2 o'clock in the morning. So Paro wanted the Jewish people to leave. Leave now! Hashem said, no, my people, my 600,000 people, my 3 million people, counting the women and the children, they're not going to leave in the middle of the night like thieves who are sneaking away. They're going to leave in the morning when everybody sees, and you're not going to be able to stop them. So Paro was, as we say, on shpilkes, right, says on needles the whole night. He just wants to get rid of them. He doesn't know what else is going to happen. So at the crack of dawn, they start baking their bread. Says, now you can get out. So we were driven out of Egypt so quickly, we had to take our dough with us before it rose. And we had to bake it right away. Some say in the sun, some say in an oven. And therefore, matzah is a seder. The matzah is a commemoration to the kipazon, the hurriedness. Kipazon is the hurriedness by which we had to leave Mitzrayim. That there was no time to let our dough rise. Now again, everyone knows the Arizal. When Chazal say, "Vayhispik v'tseikam lahachmis," there was no time to let their dough rise. Right? That's the phrase. "Vayhispik v'tseikam lahachmis." Who was pushing them? So the simple shot of the pasuk is, Paro and the Mitzrayim were pushing them. That's how we would learn Pashut Pshat. But the Arizal learns, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also told them they have to leave immediately. And that is the basis of the idea that they were on the 49th level of impurity. And if you hit level 50, you are irredeemable. Four-fifths who died were irredeemable. That's why they died. And we don't even know what this means. What does it mean that you have 1 second before you hit the level of 50? We don't even understand that. But Hashem said, you don't even have time to let your go rise because you're going to hit the level of 50 and be irredeemable. Therefore, you have to go now. So the Ari is Machadesh, but this bit, the sake of Mahasmitz, is not only referring to Pyro, telling them they have to go, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So according to that reason, right, the reason for Matzah is to commemorate the Chipazon by which we left Egypt. And therefore, Matzah is a redemption food, meaning it reminds us of the redemption. Unlike Maror, which is a slavery food, Matzah, according to this, is a redemption food. It's a simon of redemption. Now, there is a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya that compares the future redemption of Mashiach with the redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it says, in the future, lo b'chipazon teitzei, you will not have to leave in a rush. Now that seems to suggest that chipazon was not the best way. In other words, if Hashem is telling us, oh, the next redemption is going to be so great, you're not going to have to rush, that would imply there is some chisaron in chipazon. Chipazon wasn't a good thing. It was a bad thing. And the idea is simply this. The idea is, we left Mitzrayim. We were like a premature baby. We left Mitzrayim before we were spiritually ready. The only problem is, we had to leave because we would have hit the 15th level. But ideally, we needed the 400 years in Mitzrayim. We needed 400 years. But it's like the analogy would be, if God forbid somebody has cancer, and they need chemotherapy, they really can. But sometimes the chemotherapy can be so lethal that it kills the patient. So you have to discontinue the chemotherapy because it's killing the patient. That leaves some cancer in the system. Here's the same thing. The Jewish people needed a tikkun of 400 years. That's their chemotherapy. That's what Hashem said to Abraham. But we couldn't take the chemotherapy. We're on the 50th level of tumor. We would have been on the 50th level of tumor. So Hashem had to cut off the therapy early. That's called chipazon. But the result is there were still spiritual blemishes within us that culminated with Chedo Eichel. Matzah Torah cured us, as it were, but not totally, because we still had something inside, the ego, the meraglim. The Chidushi Arim actually writes, had we been able to last 400 years, there would have been no need for any bullets. We would have perfected ourselves. We would have gone to Eretz Yisrael after Moshe Rabbeinu. We would have built the Beis HaMikdash. We would have been Mashiach immediately. There never would have been a bullet. It's a very sad thought. The thousands of years of galus that we have is because we didn't complete the 190 years. If we could have held out for 190 years, we wouldn't have had the thousands of years of galus, the Holocaust, all of these different things. Right? So that's why chipazon is not good. Chipazon implies it comes before you have prepared yourself. But the Gula Asita, Hashem will give us the chance to prepare ourselves for Mashiach. Now, the question is, there are contradictions on that teaching, because there are Gemaras that say Mashiach will come very suddenly. You know, there are different Gemaras that say this. But the simple meaning of the pasuk is that you will have the time to prepare yourself in a proper way. But seen in this way, therefore, matzah is a remez to the chipazon of geula. That's one reason for matzah. But there's another reason for matzah. The other reason for matzah is the Torah describes matzah as lechem oni. Lechem oni is the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty, the bread of suffering. And this means that slaves, including the Jewish people, used to eat matzah. The Ibn Ezra writes, the Ibn Ezra was a Rishon, but he also was a great traveler. The Ibn Ezra traveled all over the known world. Not America. America was not discovered at that time.